cyclesunday.com. It's 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Cycle A. Divine Wisdom. What do I do? Cindy said. Do I go see my parents this weekend, or do I stay home with David? Martha looked perplexed. Your parents or a date? Is that your choice? Cindy exhaled. Her shoulders drooped a bit. She made eye contact with her friend and shook her head. I'll go see my parents. I can go out with David next weekend. Martha placed her hand on Cindy's shoulder. That sounds like a wise choice, Cindy. Modern Western culture doesn't esteem virtue like ancient cultures did. If there's one virtue we moderns should cultivate, it's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing when and how to act, and it's the courage to act on that knowledge. Some people equate wisdom with good judgment. Others define it as a prudent use of time and resources. There's an old proverb that speaks to wisdom in an indirect way. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Most of us see wisdom in this light. We see the wise as those who don't rush, take their time, and slowly work for their goals. Somehow, the wise are not the bold. In fact, they might seem reticent. But who is really wise when it comes to matters of ultimate importance? Some people seek a long life, others seek powers, some seek riches. Many of these people go about their goals in a quiet yet purposeful way. But are these people really wise? In the first book of Kings, the young King Solomon had a dream in which God offered him anything he wanted. Solomon didn't ask for a long life, wealth, or power. Instead, he asked for wisdom, an understanding heart. He asked for the power to understand and act boldly, if necessary, for a greater good than life, money, or power. So, if we're to obtain that greater goal, we must be willing to risk even life, riches, and power, and reputation to achieve it. This is the wisdom Jesus spoke of in Matthew's Gospel when he presented the parables of the treasure in the field, the pearl of great price, and the net thrown into the sea. For Jesus, the goal wisdom sought was nothing less than the kingdom of heaven. In the first two parables, Jesus presented the kingdom as a prize worth financial bankruptcy and the complete loss of reputation. After all, the farmer and the jewel merchant gave up all they had for their prize. Yet, once they had it, they couldn't use the prize to make any more money. According to popular thinking, only a fool would give up everything, including their livelihood, for a treasure that couldn't be put to use. The follower of Christ faced the same problem. Many Christians had to give up extended family and livelihood for their faith. For belief in Jesus meant complete excommunication. The price was high, but the prize of the kingdom was even higher. The third parable, the story of the net thrown overboard, worked on two levels. How the believer chose the kingdom and the judgment of the kingdom itself. The believer risked everything and wisely chose the kingdom, but how could the believer maintain focus on the kingdom? He would need to make additional choices that required wisdom. This believer would be the scribe, who, like the patriarch of a clan, would bring together old and new out of his storeroom for the good of the family. In other words, the believer needed to keep the best of tradition and introduce the best of the new faith to pursue in his quest for the kingdom. Those who persevered would be chosen by God at the end of time, while true fools would be turned away. In his letter to the church at Rome, St. Paul spoke to God's judgment. All things ultimately work for the good of those who believe, no matter how bad the circumstances seem now, for God wants to bring every follower into the kingdom. Paul's talk of predestination doesn't mean God has chosen some for eternal bliss and not others. He's not talking about some Christian version of fate. Instead, St. Paul described how God wants to bring all into the kingdom. He knew he would call everyone to faith in Christ. He knew how he would justify believers in this world and glorify them in the next. He gives everyone an opportunity to believe, but only the wise hear his call and follow. If the world needed a virtue now, it's wisdom. The world needs to know when and how to act. It needs good judgment. It needs prudence with time and resources. But the world needs a goal to exercise that wisdom beyond itself. And unfortunately, it refuses to see that goal. We who follow Christ see the goal, for we yearn for the kingdom. Let's pray to keep our eyes on that goal and work to realize it. Let's pray for divine wisdom. How do you pray for wisdom? How has God helped you keep His kingdom as your goal? This presentation was written, narrated, and produced by Larry Broding. Copyright 2008, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.